We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show, it goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. All right. So a moment ago, I checked in with the Butters, who is sitting in studio. So he's with us right now. That's good.
I am happy to be here.
You are live and in person. And then also coming into us on a clean feed connection right now, our friend Lee from Huntsville. Lee, are you present?
I am present.
You are. Make sure you don't have a speaker going. I can hear it playing through your loudspeaker there, Lee.
I don't know.
Okay. So, all right. That's not what we had yesterday, is it? Not the same. All right. You know what? We're going for it. I'm calling a session of Butters and Lee. All right. Nice. Okay. Lee, I tell you what, you're going to have to mute your mic whenever when you're not talking. All right.
Okay, I will.
Okay, that's what it is. I think we're getting a bounce back off of your internal speakers over there. All right, so here's the deal. Here's my first question. I saw a picture, the picture showed me clearly that there was a wrecking crew down in Montgomery yesterday. I saw a picture and it was Amy from Rainbow City, Emily from Moms for Liberty, and oh, by the way, our very own Lee from Huntsville were down in Montgomery badgering the legislature. So here's my question. Do y'all think that most folks would benefit from getting down there to see how the sausage is made? Or is it one of those things you're better off just not even knowing? Lee, you first.
Of course, I think everybody benefits from, understanding the process and seeing how bills become, you know, go into committee, come out of committee, the amendments and all that, and then going to the floor. So yeah, I definitely think everyone should go. It's very important to understand the process. But more importantly, is to eye to eye with your reps as well as others close by to let them know, hey, I'm watching you.
So let me ask you this. What were your impressions, by the way, being down there? Did it seem more real? Were you impressed? Were you not impressed? What were your thoughts?
Honestly, it was boring, a lot of it, but sorry. Some of the bills are just very, and they just, you know, they go on and on reading them and you're like trying to fall asleep. But no, I think it makes it more real in a lot of ways. And it also helped me realize these are just folks like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And some of them, it did not strike me as the sharpest tool in the shed.
I was waiting for that, that reaction. All right, let me turn over here to Butters real quick. All right, Mr. Butters, I don't know if you've ever been down to the state house or not, but I know you've seen a little bit of governance. You're not impressed with the city council locally. I know that for a fact. But tell me, do you think it is better for citizens to go down there and see the sausage getting made or just be better off not knowing?
Can we do a whole show on this topic? So if you want to continue living in ignorance and probably claim ignorance is bliss and enjoy life and go to football games and do all the fun things that, probably just stay away. To me, you engage, pay attention. And obviously if you listen to this show, you probably are engaged at some level. Yeah. So I would probably say if you listen to this show, do it in some way, some form or fashion, because it demystifies, to Lee's point. They're just people. And it makes you, I think it gives you that sense of like, not to go too long, but you know, I went from basically not really paying attention in my community to about 14 months later, sitting down with my congressman to do an interview to post on Facebook. Not something like, I had no idea who Congressman Adderholt was when I started that whole ordeal locally. And all of a sudden I'm sitting down like, I had no clue. And now I'm going, you know what? I feel like I can make a difference. And I think that's a pretty good experience.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. So I know I've talked about before, you know, when I ran, I ran thinking that I sort of knew the issues, and I was going down there thinking I was somewhat well-read as a constituent. And I got down there and I was kind of – shocked, amazed, sometimes impressed, and other times I was like not impressed at all with the things that are done and the people that do them that make the laws that we have to live under. And where it really hit me the very first time, when it hit me the sincerity, though, of what that all is and what it's about, is the first time I walked out onto the floor of the state Senate. And there was a desk there, and it had my name on it. And I was like, holy crap, this is a place where we actually make laws. As an attorney, I go to court on the same laws that I'm going to be helping make. And, you know, it just – and so I'm of the mind that if you – like you said, if you choose to live in bliss, in ignorance, okay. But I think that most folks would suddenly find, like Lee did, that, you know what? Like you said, it demystifies, and that – It's a thing to go down and not only see and do, but then to have a frame of reference in your mind when the day comes that you want to do something else about it. Any further thoughts on that, Lee?
I think that's exactly right. And I also think you'll get to kind of a feel for personalities too when you go down there and see how your senators and reps stack up against some of the others. It's an interesting mix.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what too. I guarantee you, it's also a little frustrating sometimes to realize how casual it appears for people to pass laws that affect other people sometimes. Let's just do a voice vote and call it done. And I got to catch lunch. What are you doing for lunch today? You know, and you're like, you just voted on something that impacts families or whatever. Anyway. All right. Next question. This is far more inflammatory. I'm digging in right here. I'm going to talk about it more in the show later, but there are some states, Indiana being one, where the state government itself, through its like DHR kind of organization, is removing kids from homes if the parents will not affirm their gender identity. Give me your thoughts on that. And by the way, where does this end? Butters, you first, man.
Well, I don't use this term lightly because, you know, it's definitely not a good one. But I think that's definitely a path to push us further and further towards some revolt, revolution, some true pushback. Yeah, I mean, to start with, like if that becomes a problem here, see ya. You know, I'm out. Like, I'm not playing games. Like that's not a, oh, we're having some political debate, or, you know, God, those people on the left, or God, those people on the right. Like, that's some real legit nasty.
Yeah.
You know, nasty stuff.
That's breaking up families.
Yeah. And the idea, I mean, just so many issues upon issues of the demand, the shortage of foster parents. Like, where are all these kids, you know, where are these kids going to go? I don't know what the numbers are. I assume you're going to cover some of that kind of stuff from the art. But, you know, I mean, like, we've already got enough problems. Is that really, really? Really, is that something that you know, we need to be? That's massive overreach. And yeah, you stay out of my house.
Come on in, Lee. What do you think about all this?
I think it's a fundamental attack on my right as a parent.
Yeah.
I have a fundamental right to raise my children the way I see fit, whether you like it or not. In whatever religion or no religion is my right as a parent. And I make the decisions for my children. And in their best interest. And for the state to think that they can usurp me as a parent is a big no. You know, one of the things we say is we don't co-parent with the government, with Moms for Liberty, and we do not. And I would move from a state that had that law enacted, because I'm not giving up my right as a parent. I'm not doing it. And that's children and their protection are the hill to die on.
So I agree with that completely. And that's exactly what I think that I think you said a minute ago. If that's the way it's going to be and I'm here, guess what? I forget how you said it a moment ago, but what you got?
Well, I mean, where does it end?
Yeah. That's my next question is, where does it end?
What? Well, like, and I mean, I you know,
I know where it ends,
but I mean, okay. So because you're, you know, you won't dress your kid a certain way, like, how far down some road are we going with what we're claiming is as an appropriate? That's just a recipe for very bad stuff.
Yeah, and then what happens when one day they declare that if you won't let your kids drive an EV as opposed to a gas-powered vehicle, you're abusive. If you won't let your kid be a vegan, if you won't, you know, who knows? I mean, where does it stop? I don't. What were you about to say, Lee, a minute ago?
think of 1984.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, which was kind of modeled on Hitler Youth, right? Because he wrote it in 1948. It was fresh. It is the taking of a generation and turning them against their parents. And when you have the children and their mindset, what is it? I think Hitler said something like, just give me one generation and that's it. And this is where we stand right now in the preface of losing that one generation. And when you can convince children to turn on their parents,
yeah,
that's the end.
That's so when the Khmer Rouge were, taking over Cambodia and the killing fields and all occurred, one of the things they did was they turned families against each other. You will report. You will tell us what you see in your household. And they made children reporters against parents. And then I've said multiple times on here, one of the most impactful books that I read in recent years is Escape from Camp 19, I think it is. And it's a North Korean defector who managed to get out of North Korea after being raised. He was born in a gulag. And he was raised in this gulag. And the culture they had there was such that at one point he turned in his parents because they somehow had extra meat for dinner. And so he curried favor with the guards by turning in his own parents, and his parents were executed. And he lives with that to this day, knowing that he reported because he was told that's the way we do things, and he did. His parents were executed.
I mean, think about COVID. Were we not told to report on each other?
Oh, God.
This is not so far-fetched here.
Yeah, it's nuts. All right, that is a good round one. That's some substantive round one right there. Round one of Butters and Lee. We're going to take a break right now. We come back, and this is where we flip the script, and they ask me a question, any question, and we just see what I got. And I hope I got something. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Here for round two of Butters and Lee. Hit me some whoop-whoops. Yeah. All right, this is round two. That's where we flip the script, and I get to just sit back and get asked a question, any question. I have no idea what to expect, so I'm going to go with Butters first because I'm staring at you. So pray tell, Butters, what is your question? Yeah, I did the pray tell just for your benefit.
I appreciate that.
Pray tell, Butters, what is your question?
I guess I should
me?
Take a shot of coffee.
The official drink of Right Side Radio.
Okay, so I know how much you love AI, and I know how much you it keeps you up at night worrying about what's going to happen. So here's an article on Fox Business headline: Google apologizes after new Gemini AI refuses to show pictures achievements of white people.
Wait, what?
Google apologizes after new AI refuses to show pictures and achievements of white people.
Okay, did they?
Now, I'll save you the whole article, but it does, in all fairness, number one, it does say Google is trying to address this issue. Fox ran some tests. It would not show white people, and it would also not show black people or any other color, and it gave a message of basically like you should think beyond race.
Come on.
And but it would show like accomplishments of
okay, what's your question? You got a question?
So the question is, what's your thoughts on
my thoughts are, that's jacked up. That's what my thoughts are. So first of all, AI is it may be artificial intelligence, but it is still subject to its initial programming. So whoever set that thing up either put some parameters in place or left something out, one or the other. And I mean, I'm no code writer. I'm no programmer. I'm not a computer guy. I'm the guy that they look at and go, excuse me, sir, did you reboot? I mean, that's me, right? But still, nonetheless, I know enough to know that didn't happen as a matter of AI choosing over time to develop its intelligent approach to life such that it should not show you pictures of white people. That's a subject of its initial programming. And so Google apologized, but they're smart people at Google. We haven't got this figured out yet.
I don't know where they're at on.
Here's
on
one for you. You just type in clickety 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 click, and all you do is you tell AI, make sure you show the pictures of white people too. That's all you got to do.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's interesting because AI is a learning. It's not necessarily like the programming. So it's learning from somebody.
God almighty. Okay. And that's Google's AI.
That's Google's AI.
Now, now I understand why Elon Musk the other day tweeted out the notion that all other AI is likely racist. You might want to use his new upcoming XI.
Mm.
Just saying.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Lee, I'm coming to you. Do you have one as inflammatory and maddening as that one? What do you have for me?
I do. Can you hear me really well?
I can, yeah.
Earbuds.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And I will say, I suggest everyone go look up on YouTube, Paul Joseph Watson's. He did a video on this particular thing you're talking about, and it's hysterical.
Okay.
Especially when you see the Pope, because the two pictures are an Indian woman and a black man as the Pope. I'm like, okay, okay. That's the pictures that generate it. And when it asks for pictures of medieval England, they're like all black. I'm like, I'm not sure what's going wrong with the algorithm here, but it's lost its way.
So AI does not have a grasp on history is what you're telling me.
It has a grasp on the history that it's been programmed.
Okay.
So the guy that apologized, by the way, also has been shown to have just anti-white text. He's a white man, but he is like just diehard woke.
He's an apologist.
Apologist, big time. So come on, this all factors in. My question is, so after being in the state house in the Judiciary Committee, watching the vote on Susan DeVos's bill 111, which is basically just codifying biological definitions into state law.
Right.
So defining man, woman, what mother, woman? Father, right. Boy, girl, like, because for some reason we have to do that now. They allowed four people to speak for and against. And one of the people speaking for was a very excellent spoken man named Bishop Jim Lowe. And he
I
has
love
a church
Jim
in
Birmingham.
Lowe. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know. I had never met him before then. I didn't know him, but man, can he speak? And
yeah.
From the heart, he's fabulous.
Yeah.
And he just really gave an impassioned speech on why. And from his point, he was coming from the godly perspective. He is a bishop, a head of a church, and, gave the speech to the committee. Anyway, and they asked everybody to stay in case anybody had any questions for the guests. And at the end, Representative Chris England of Tuscaloosa, Democrat, of course, absolutely personally attacked Jim Lowe. It was embarrassing for him because he looked extraordinarily petty. He was going after him saying, well, LGBTQ people aren't welcome in your church, are they? And it was like just really like intense personal barbs when we're talking about, a law that's pretty simple.
Lee, I got 45 seconds.
Okay, my question for you is, has it always been like this? And did you see this a lot while you were there?
With people like Chris England, yes. So Chris England is an ardent liberal. Now, I like Chris England. I like him well enough to, we can chat and have a conversation. And there are times when I've said, if I'm going to be in a committee with my bill and Chris England is on the committee, I'd better be well-versed in my bill because he's a lawyer. He'll come at it from his perspective, but he's uber liberal. And he, the very fact that he did that, by the way, Jim Lowe is a giant of a man. He's a great individual. And I say that like in the figurative sense, he's a giant of a man in terms of his character, who he is as a person, a leader in his community. And Chris England hates the fact that you've got somebody like Bishop Jim Lowe who loves Jesus and, is a conservative. And that is
exactly.
That just boggles Chris England's mind. He cannot, and he's black. Oh, by the way, he's black. And
they're both black. And
yeah.
Chris doesn't like it when a black man leaves the Democrat plantation. By God, you better get back in there.
And that's what exactly was going on. You are so right. All right, Lee, that was an extra long question. You get points for it. We love you. Thanks for being
John.
There today.
Come on, John.
And Butter's in studio. We love you back, man. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number 3 coming up.